You were saying that you were glued to your app watching what was
Yes.
happening in Cuddly Creek and Lobethal.
Yes, and we had one photo that was on the news actually of our site with the CFS trucks in front and the flames behind them, going, this is very close. In the end, the fire took 90 houses between Cuddly Creek and
90
Harrogate.
houses, that's
Yeah.
90 families who
90 families,
lost
exactly.
everything.
Yeah. And then on top of that were people that lost fencing, sheds, caravans. Some places it went back to, so one family we were aware of, they believe the fire went through twice. They lost everything, but they believe it went through one way and then the wind changed and came back and took another lot.
That's so random.
It is. And places like Bushland Park, so that's this really lovely area of native bush, so it hasn't, it's just, it's almost like a remnant area. And the town, it's a really special place for the town. They'd always said, oh, there's something special at Bushland Park. Like, there's never had a fire there since European settlement anyway. Not sure beforehand. And the people were like, well, if Bushland Park goes, we're done for. And 90% of Bushland Park went. Yeah, and that's, all the orchids and the xanthias and all the native bush there was, it's gone. Yeah, it was devastating. And that, I think, for the community has been all ages, because the children, the school there has a bush kindy. So your kids have these memories of having their school there, their kindy in that place, and it's just gone. So it's regenerating, but it's still devastating for people. And so when that happened and we knew the extent of the fire, my question was for Fabric. What's our role in this? I've never wanted Fabric to be on separate to the community. I want it to be embedded, and what does that mean? To explore always, if the community needs something, how can the arts play a part, play a role in that? And so I was like, well, this is the question now, isn't it? If we can't do something now, when are we ever going to be able to respond? What does it mean to be an arts organisation in a community that's just been devastated by a fire? So we knew that with the extent of the fire, that a recovery centre would need to be established. So I was immediately offering the one building we do have that has toilets, kitchen, and air conditioning, and that could be the recovery centre that people are coming into Fabric then, and the old mill to get their assistance and support. So that happened very quickly. Government's very well set up to just get this happening through Housing SA. We, in the very early stages, because it was chaos very early on, there was people coming and donating stuff, and we didn't need stuff, and it was just, we needed money, not stuff, and people haven't got a
Were
house to
you
put
like a
stuff in.
depot for
We
things?
weren't, but people were still turning up. I had someone coming, I've got a tent, no one wants to take my tent. Oh, if you haven't lost your home, you might not want a tent. No, you might not, you're not going camping, and you probably don't want to live in a tent if you lost your home. So it was really interesting working with people who really wanted to give but didn't necessarily want to make sure that what they were giving was what people needed. So it was kind of an interesting moment too. So we very, very initially worked with the recovery centre to help it become a hospitable place as well, so it wasn't corporate. So we, went to artists to ask them for donation or a loan of artworks of comfort, so that there could be beautiful artworks around people, and that there was a roster of people cooking biscuits and flowers, and so that the environment was softened and not a corporate centre. And then the recovery centre took that on themselves and managed that. But just in those early days of thinking, well, how can the arts be a role here? So that recovery centre is now, it's about to finish up now. So this is coming towards the end of March 2021. So it's been there over a year. So it's been a significant contribution that they've made. And what's lovely, it's been in what's known as the blanket room of the old mill. So it's like another layer of that building has got now what it's held for the community as
Oh,
well.
that's beautiful.
It's quite a, that was where all the handiwork happened, where they were inspected, where the last bits of hand stitching happened. And so that's where the community went for their support and solace. And so then we were looking at, well, okay, what's the role of the arts in recovery? And so we started researching some of that to understand what happens in disaster. Some of what we learned was that for straight after a disaster, people are rallying together, they're connecting, and they're going, we'll get through this, we're a strong-knit community, we're really supportive of each other. And that's the initial reality. But often what communities feel after that, experience after that, is a disintegration. There's a fragmentation as everyone realises they've all experienced it differently. Some people are insured, some others. Some people stayed, some people defended, some people left. Some people left, but someone else looked after. So there's this multitude of ways that people experience it, and it can create a fragmentation. And so what disaster recovery experts would say is that what the community needs then is opportunities to gather and connect so that they can actually hear deeply each other's story and just listen and accept that. But what we had was COVID. So at that time when that community was needing to gather and connect, they were told to go home and go back to the homes that, you know, months before they were told to leave because they weren't safe. Now they've been told that the only place to be safe is back in your home. So we had this dilemma for the community. They couldn't gather but really needed to. And I think that kind of has rippled through continuing on as well. And we were asked the question, well, how do we gather when we can't, how do we connect when we can't gather? Because very early on after the fires, we had people gathering at Fabric. So we had local artists wanting to offer free workshops to kids and to other artists so they could just come and make together and just be together. So that started within a week of the fire. That was happening regularly. We had creative journaling workshops where people could come and use creativity to journal out their feelings and do that in a safe, supportive environment with a counsellor there as well. So, and that has continued. They're still meet, those groups are still meeting today. Those three kind of areas.
And that was during COVID as well?
They met. Children's didn't continue, but the creative journaling, they did continue remotely. So they had Zoom meetings, and we sent out these emails with information and little cards of kindness as well. So, and we did little kits of kindness and did whatever we could try and connect people remotely.
And did people welcome it?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, yeah. And some of those, like the creative journaling, they're still meeting now. One of those groups just continued to meet and they're still supporting each other. And then we quickly just kept looking at how can we keep gathering as things started to open up again. We were quick to carefully and responsibly, you know, create ways that we could gather again because we knew how important that was. What was fascinating though was that between that little moment between the fires and COVID, we had an exhibition that we had been planned prior, the year before. It was called Solastalgia, and so the name means grief for loss of environment. It's been kind of a new word that's been coined, and it was curated by an artist called Jo Wilmot, who's a jeweler, and she'd got together a range of artists that were all commenting on around their concerns for climate and loss of environment. And after the fire happened, we all met together going, well, that's the right theme, but is it the wrong time? We've got a recovery center of people here who are traumatized coming here. We don't want to do more damage. And so the artist decided, and one of the artists had lost everything. She was a total loss, and we were guided very strongly by what she was intuiting was appropriate, and we decided there would be no reference to fire, no visual, no black, none of the ashes, none of that kind of bushfire porn kind of stuff. It would need to be something that offered hope and solace for people, except for that artist, Belinda Broughton, who had lost her home. Her contribution was going to be writing, because she's a writer, a poet, but she ended up drawing on the wall, directly onto the wall of the building inside, a depiction of her block before the fire, during and after, and what she hoped would happen, using the charcoal from the fire of her home. So it was quite a powerful piece, powerful for her to do and powerful for everyone to see. And what was fascinating, that whole exhibition, we also had Yvette Sunset had an installation that included, you know, timber that had been cut that wasn't burnt, but that was hanging, but also the ground piece had growing. She planted seeds and they grew in there, so with this beautiful grass growing in there. So
about regeneration.
Yeah, it was about regeneration and just that thing of seeing green. And we just found people coming in were raw. Like you got to these conversations very deep and meaningful very quickly, because people, if they're coming from the city, they'd come through a burnt landscape and it was distressing. And you know, people were in tears looking. It just brought up the grief, I think, that people were experiencing. And one of the local people said, we're all grieving, whether you lost your house, whether you know someone that did, whether you didn't, but you live nearby. You're like, we all are impacted by that. And that's an important thing to realise, like this, that oh, I can't grieve because I didn't lose my house. But actually, no, we're all impacted by it. And seeing, you know, for those of us working there, just driving in every day, very often you just have a tearful drive to work. It's just, oh, those trees, you know, they're just, they've been killed. You know, just, it's devastating. We looked at creative recovery. We deliberately chose that as what our focus would be last year, and not realising it would be around COVID recovery from that interruption to our lives as well. So we had a number of things that were regular. We had other things that were, we invited people to come to workshops and work with an artist around specific things like mindfulness photography or creating a ceramic, working with Deb Twining to create a ceramic that expressed something about how they were experiencing it. And at the end of the year, we had an exhibition called Regenerate, and it was an opportunity to demonstrate the creative activity of the community during that year. So some of it came from people that we'd known, but others had just been of their own volition doing something creative, whether it was photographing a block of land as it regenerated because they wanted to see, they needed to see how that was happening. Each month they'd go and photograph the next bit, the next bit, and then documenting what they were finding, what was growing.
That's so important.
They had to see that. One woman just brought in all of the knitting that she'd been doing because that was her, what she used to knit and create and crochet for people. But she also had been photographing because they'd lost their house and now moved to another house temporarily to rent. And someone said, what's it going to be like living here? You get to look at this blackened landscape. And so she decided she needed to find the beauty in that landscape. So every day, every Sunday, she'd take a photo of the regenerating landscape. There's something about people turn to nature to see what they could become as well, I think.
How nature does it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, because it was doing it. It was doing it within weeks because we had rain not long after and the green started coming back. And then those little, the leaves, which are red before they're green, the epicomic growth that comes from the burnt trees, that it's amazing. It's kind of, who knew it was red? I thought it was green, but it starts red, then turns green. But yeah, they shoot it out so quickly. And Xantharias had these 6-foot high flowers coming out by
nature knows how to regenerate. It's us that does it, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.